There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Donovan Bailey running things back for another week. As per usual, we ask that you please like, subscribe, follow, just get it out there. Social media aplenty. Jason Portwando alongside. And now I know his initials are DB, but I like to call him LL, Living Legend. Morning, sir.
Morning, brethren. How are you doing, man?
All good, bro. All good. You know, we get a chance to rap on a weekly basis. Yeah. And quite often you and I struggle. You know, what's going to be the lead? What do we hook the listeners with? We didn't have that problem this time around.
Yeah, it wasn't really. I don't think we struggled to find the lead. It's just that there's so many.
Right.
There's so many that we can, jump off with. But I think that, Jason, yeah, today's topic, I think that, the entire world is ablaze. Today's lead is not a problem at all. You're leading off though. Remember, I'm an anchorman.
All right. So hand it back over to me. And in case you somehow missed it, you were living under what, a Chris Rock? I mean, it's not even possible to miss what we are about to deliver. But the backstory quickly, Chris Rock, obviously at the Oscars the other night, he talked about Jada Pinkett playing the role of G.I. Jane 2. With her shaved head, but we all know that she's got that condition. If you don't know, yes, she has a condition in which her hair cannot grow, but this is just a encapsulated version as to what took place the other night.
Uh-oh, Richard! Oh, wow! Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me. Wow, dude!
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay? That was a greatest night in the history of television. Okay.
Mission accomplished. Because after that, nobody around the world would change the dial. Because it was the slap seen and heard around the nation.
It is amazing.
Like that the planet.
Dude, yeah. I think that there's some, there's definitely some people out of space that saw and heard that too. I mean, I think it's incredible. You know what? I have to tell you, I mean, you
okay.
Know, everyone,
give me your take.
But everyone, I think, is trying to, like, give their two cents as to what it is. One, I don't condone violence. I mean, you know, I'm a sports guy. I think all things should be settled on the field. But yeah, I definitely not the place, not the time. Jason, as you know, one of the things that we always talk about is for some of us who are blessed to be public figures and humbled to be public figures, there's a lot of people watching. And if you're at a place, the biggest stage, the highest stage, then there has to be some sort of discipline that you have to. There's some sort of discipline that you have to have, and certainly there has to be this. I think that we're going to dig beneath the layers today, but certainly that definitely was not the place and time and will for standing up and going and slapping another dude is. I'm not perfect, and he's certainly not perfect, and sometimes I think that public figures. pretend to be or is expected to be robots. And I think that it just wasn't the place and definitely wrong timing.
Well, I was going to ask you if you think it was legit, but clearly by the tone of your voice, you think this was a real thing. I mean, for me,
right.
I look at the, you know, the chronological order of what happened.
Right.
You know, Rock made the joke, obviously wrong.
Mm-hmm. Is it wrong, though, Jason? Because
Ricky Gervais has said some pretty risky things, and other hosts as well.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
But
Ricky, no, hang on one second before we move on. The G.I. Jane joke
mm-hmm.
that Chris Rock said would be ranked on like a negative 10 compared to what Ricky Gervais used to say to the audience, man. And Ricky Gervais came back many times to do that. I mean, I'm a huge fan. By the way, I'm a huge fan of comedy. I believe that if you live your life, especially on public, well, one, if you're a public figure, but not only if you're a public figure, but if your private life is also, you know, out on Main Street, then you're expected that comedians, this is content that they can use, right?
But is it not crossing the line? She's got that condition, alopecia.
I understand.
Is that not crossing the line? It's one thing to make fun of somebody, just making fun of them.
Right.
But when you're suffering from a condition which won't allow you to do something, and then you make light of that. I understand that right. the comedians cross the line. That's just what they do. But to me, I don't agree with it. And I know that a lot of the material is written for these comedians, right?
Was it written? That's the other thing. Was it written? Was it written? And here's the thing with all of this, as we address it all. Chris might have crossed the line. Because another thing that people aren't even talking about, Jada Pinkett is beautiful with bald head. Holy smokes, man. I mean, obviously, Chris could have said that. He could have said, hey,
well,
man.
He said, Jada, I love you, off the top.
Which, again, I mean, you know, they probably go back 30, 40 years. I mean, these guys. I mean, so Chris, by actually saying that joke, might have crossed the line, right?
Okay.
Will definitely did, and so which is the person there? Which is the person that has the least amount of, or showed the least amount of restraint? Who is it?
Okay,
they're both wrong. It's apples to apples, right?
They're both wrong. But right. Here's the rub for me:
mm-hmm.
If I'm mad, I'm not laughing at the joke. First of all, see this is what doesn't sit well with me. The right. joke was made. You see Will's reaction. He's laughing his ass off
right.
until he looks across to his left and sees that wifey's not happy. She rolls her eyes, and then all of a sudden it just triggers that whole response, the slap. Will's laughing as he goes back to his seat, and then he starts yelling, keep my wife's blood. You know, to me, if I'm mad, I'm not using politically correct words. I know he swore, but it just, he's from the hood.
Yeah, but
that seemed almost like a rehearsed speech to me.
I don't know if Will's from the hood, though. I mean,
he's not from West Philly?
Yeah, no, but born I don't
and
think,
raised
but on yes, the but I don't know if he's from the hood. I mean, I know we all, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, reading history with the history of Jada's existence, she's more of a gangster than he is. Right, we already know that.
That Jada, might be a good point.
Jada is a bigger gangster than Will is. Will is one of those guys. I mean, you know, I mean, West Philly is probably not Mississauga or Oakville, but it's definitely not gangland. You know what I mean? And
right.
and I think for him, you know, even looking at what his physicality is, so looking at him and he's he's smiling, I think that there was some sort of embarrassment. You know, I think that there was something that there's something about that caused some sort of embarrassment, and maybe he felt that defending his wife was the thing that he had to do, so he had to get up and do something. I mean, remember also, Jason, one of the things that we did, mm-hmm. One of the things that that occurred was that you know, he was there for King Richard,
right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? There's a lot of history, as you talked about, right? 2016, you go back to the Oscars, and it was, of course, Chris Rock hosting. And, you know, Jada Pinkett boycotted for a couple of reasons. She said, you know, lack of diversity,
right?
Number one. Number two, you know, Will Smith's movie Concussion not even getting a nomination.
Right.
And then, you know, Chris Rock says, you know, Jada boycotting these Oscars is like me boycotting Rihanna's panties. I wasn't invited. So there's a history with these guys. So this wasn't just something that just, you know, started a few days ago.
Well, a couple of things. And here's what I'm thinking. Chris Rock and Jada and Will Smith went all the way back to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's number one. They've known each other, traveled in the same circle. You know, they know each other, travel in the same circle, have worked together for many, many, many years. Many, many years, right? You know, so, you know, I think that Chris, you know, was, as a comedian, we saw how he handled after he got slapped. So he wasn't in character. That's just who he is, right? And we saw how he handled, how he kind of transitioned back to the, obviously he stumbled.
Would you have handled it like that if somebody slapped you?
Jason, may I different, man.
Exactly. I'm sorry. Like, to me,
right.
I don't care who you are,
right?
How much money you make, you slap me. Yeah. I'm saying something.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, that's...
He handled it a little too well for my liking.
No, but first of all, I think it's amazing that he did. You know, he showed restraint and I think that that's what I'm saying when we're doing a deeper dive. They had a long relationship. They've had a long relationship. You know what I really think in all of this? I think that Chris Rock is just the collateral damage of something deeper, right? I mean, whether or not, you know, in Will's book, he talks about, watching his, father, abusing his mother and feeling helpless that he could not do anything. And he actually talked about being suicidal because of that. Right. So you're talking about that. I mean, obviously he's in a very documented relationship with his wife. You know, there were other things that were happening. And I think that maybe Chris is the collateral damage because there's just far too many happy moments that I've seen them together celebrating that on the biggest stage first of all, you got one of the funniest and wealthiest comedians in the world today, right? You've got the biggest actor in the world today getting celebrated for, you know, an Oscar for the first time in his life. So I'm saying to you that we understand and we talk about this word trigger quite a bit. And I think that something else is beneath the layers. I really think that Chris is just the collateral damage, all of this. And here's what's crazy. Chris is going to go on. He's going to get on his comedy tour. He's going to sell this out. And believe me, he's going to make a bag of money just from what happened. And again, how we handle it, though, professionally, that's definitely with class. I mean, and you can't, you certainly can fault Will for getting up and slapping a guy in front of the world, but you don't really understand when he said that love makes you do crazy things. You know, he's human too, and I think that clearly that's what he demonstrated.
The slap obviously wasn't necessary. Could have just sat in his chair and said what he said from afar. To do both, it's
really?
Anyways. Maybe something just doesn't sit right with me. That's all I'm saying. Apology was made. Just to encapsulate it, Will saying, you know, violence in all of its forms is poisonous and destructive. He apologized for his behavior. He said to Chris, "I was out of line. I was wrong. I'm embarrassed, and my actions were not indicative of the man I want to be. There is no place for violence in a world of love and kindness." So now it's under review by the Oscars. We'll see if they decide to do anything, and it's not completely done.
The takeaway from this, I mean, first of all,
well, people wanted to take away the Oscar. That's some people want.
That is crazy. I mean,
could you imagine?
No, that is crazy. Someone's getting judged for a tiny lapse in. Think about if you go to school, right? And you're getting A pluses every test, and one you got 50.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, say, oh.
But what performance was better, that one or King Richard?
Oh, but hold on. But let me.
Just joking. I know you're a fan of the slap.
But I'm not a fan of the slap.
But
I'm
saying it.
I'm saying
that it's real.
I spoke to a very good friend of mine who's a professor of African American studies, and she, a professor, said to me that, you know, maybe that was necessary. Maybe that was necessary for the world to see. Mm-hmm. Maybe Will shouldn't be the person that do it, and Chris Rock shouldn't have been the recipient. But maybe it was necessary in society today. The takeaway that I have a problem with in all of this, and as we you know get on a positive side, is that I tuned in to watch this because of the people that were involved behind the scenes and exactly in producing a great entertainment show for global fans to see people celebrating movies. One, Will Packer is one of the best, if not the best, director producer in the world, and he was the one that was in charge of that. As a hip hop head, you and I hip hop heads, D Nice was a DJ playing for the first time, bro. Right? You know, you've got Questlove. I'll finish off with Questlove. The three ladies that were the host were phenomenal. Funny as hell. Funny as hell, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, it was like the show itself was going to be, I mean, first of all, the show is epic anyways, because everybody's talking about it in the world, but the show itself was going on to be such an epic positive, right? You know, and then you're talking about the best actor category. You've got Denzel Washington, my man, and you got Will, right? You know, you're looking at the Questlove winning an Oscar, you know, for a film dedicated to, you know, bringing light to what has happened, what transpired in Brooklyn in the 60s, okay? You know, so there's that all of those things were lost in Slapgate. All of that was lost. So I'm saying to you that I tuned in to watch because of all of those people involved and just to see how incredible they all were in putting on such an amazing show. And so the takeaway from that is that maybe we should spend a lot of time right now thinking about the people that won for the incredible job, like the three hosts.
It should be
the three hosts.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was an incredible thing. I mean, and it should have been a night to celebrate excellence and the different people that won in their categories.
Wanda Sykes, Amy Schumer, Regina Hall did an amazing job. And the night was capped off by Lady Gaga. Just, you know, such a touching moment there with Liza Minnelli. I mean, we saw a different side of Lady Gaga. I mean, she was phenomenal the way she handled that whole situation. And then you wrap it up with Coda winning, you know, the first predominantly deaf cast.
Right. But that's what I'm saying, celebrating.
A streaming film, you don't hear that.
But that's what I'm talking about. You're celebrating, well, you're going to celebrate inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was it. This, you know, for all of the people that were involved and all the people that are won and all the new and different stars, man. I mean, that's really what the celebration is going to be. But like I said, I mean, the layers with the layers for Will is definitely different. And, one of the takeaways also is how Tyler Perry and Denzel Washington assisted Will in ensuring he understood.
That part I don't get.
That he was a, no.
He went out and slapped somebody and they're trying to console him. What?
But I'm saying to you, but Jason, think about this.
Okay.
One guy was off his rocker. Chris Rock got slapped, bro. And you and I talked about this. If you are the one who got slapped, the pot is done. Right?
Right.
I'm
remorse for a guy who was in the wrong. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I'm saying to you that professionally, I think that the two men, Tyler Perry and Denzel Washington, understood the moment, understood that Will is clearly having a mental breakdown or something. Right.
Quick switch. You go from laughing to having a mental breakdown. I don't get it.
To crying.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's all part of life.
It is. And you're right. It took away from a fabulous you know, night at the Oscars, and who would have ever expected Campion and the Williams sisters just to be on the undercard, because it all started with the Critics' Choice Awards and it just ballooned and blossomed at the Oscars. Yo, Grammys, what do you got in store for us coming up next week? Jeez, because they have definitely raised the bar. Donovan Bailey running things powered by Acast. Jason Portwando alongside Donovan Bailey, the living legend inside our Toronto Mike studios. Let's talk a little footy.
This is the moment the country has waited for. The Kings of the North, they've done it. Canada is going to the World Cup.
First time since 1986. Why, price of a house back then was like 90-something thousand, and it's just changed just a wee bit since then. We knew it was going to happen. It's now official, and it feels so good. You can't take it for granted, because you look at like a powerhouse, Italy, not going to the World Cup, but Canada is.
You know what? I went to the game. And
you were there.
I was at the game. I mean, we'll talk about the temperature in a minute. But
believe you were there in that cold.
Yeah. We'll talk about the temperature in a minute. But I got to tell you, I felt I need to be there because, as you know, Jason, I like to play it forward. And it's so important for me to go and celebrate with the team, congratulating the team. And cheering these young guys on. I mean, I think that they'll understand that there is no bigger and better thing that they'll ever do in their lives. There's no bigger or better accomplishments. I mean, yes, you can win a premiership, you can do whatever. But, you know, to go to play in the World Cup or to win the World Cup, which would be amazing, it's the greatest and biggest things that they'll ever do in their lives. And to represent your country, seeing that flag flying is the greatest accomplishment any athlete can ever have. And being in the stadium and it's minus 20 or whatever it was, it felt like minus 95. I don't know the difference. But going to the stadium and seeing how Canadians showed up and cheered on their team and absolutely, it was probably one of the most, as a fan of sport, it's probably one of the most electric atmosphere I've been a part of. I mean, and you know, the good thing is, you know, I was sitting in an executive box, so it was warm 80%, 90% of the time. When I went to stand outside, it was kind of tough. But you know, it's Canadians, man. There's a couple of guys there with shirts off, you know, running up and down the stand. So hey, I gotta say congratulations to the kids.
Yeah,
it's, you know, going to Qatar. You know, a place I've been many, many times. It's, you know, it's going to be hot. It's going to be a little different.
That's why it's in November.
It's going to be hot in November compared to what, I mean, there's no comparison, but it's probably going to be 90 degrees.
Could you imagine
degrees.
Playing there in June or July?
You know what? I love the sun. I would rather be naked with the sun burning the back of my neck than to put on a, you know, 3-layer coat. You know, that's just me. I mean, I prefer the sunshine. I definitely prefer the heat and humidity. Like, I prefer that. But I think these kids, you know, when I look at the team and even the diversity of the team, you know, I think Canada's definitely put together the best squad. After 36 years, I think they deserve it. I think our entire country and, you know, fans need to get behind these kids. I mean, certainly we want them to, you know, to do as well or even better as our women's team do. So I'm looking forward to watching them, looking forward to cheering them on.
You keep saying kids, and you're right, because only Atiba Hutchinson was alive the last time, the only time Canada competed at a World Cup. I think he was 3, they said. So you're
still
right.
Still a kid.
A bunch of kids, and it's a nice group. It's a collective between some veterans, some budding stars, some kind of middle-of-the-road players in terms of their experience.
Right.
Kyle Larin scores, Tejon Buchanan scores, Junior Hoilett scores.
Oh, man.
And the own goal. Kind of mixed emotions. Was it a little bit? Because you and I are both of Jamaican descent.
Right.
And now we're living in Canada.
See, yes and no. Yes and no. One, here's I am always Jamaican. So, I mean, I think that people ask me stupid questions, you know, who are you? One, I am Jamaican. However, I as a Canadian, I've worn no other uniform, and I bleed red and white. Okay, so very mixed because I saw, well, the Jamaicans weren't going anywhere. They couldn't win.
They fielded a younger team too.
But I'm saying to the and the start, yeah, and this is a building for them. And I got to tell you, Jason, being at the game, man, none of those kids look like they want to be here. I'm just thinking about you leave Jamaica, right, where it's 96 degrees in the shade, and you land in Toronto, and it's minus 18, and all you have is a sweater. I mean, it like I'm just saying, just I'm talking about out
cool the, run-ins, the soccer version.
What out the gate, it was very tough. But I think that Jamaica also has got some great young athletes. They have a bright future also. But this was simply it. It was just a game. Jamaica was never going to go through. They're going to go back and go back to their club teams now, anyways. So, you know, for the Canadian squad and the kids going back to the club teams and also the team itself getting ready for the World Cup, man, listen, congratulations on winning. Jamaica gave it a great shot. You know, I wasn't torn at all. I mean, I understand the game. I mean, it's no different than me cheering for Usain Bolt. I'm going to cheer for the best people that are on the field. And, you know, if it happens, we get choices, Jason. That's the good thing.
Right.
You can say, well, I'm going to cheer for Canada because Canada is going to win this. I'm going to cheer for Jamaica because Jamaica is going to win that. So we get to do both.
I'm happy that we just unified as a country because what we saw after the Costa Rica loss was just horrible. A bunch of Canadians taking to social media platforms, attacking Mark Anthony Kay. Mm. And I know he got the red card, and it was a chance for Canada to clinch in Costa Rica. They didn't. Right. They came back home and did it, but the amount of derogatory, racially motivated slurs disgusting. That were thrown at him, considering we're all Canadian, regardless of, you know, what backgrounds we have, we all are now part of this great country. That, to me, was disturbing.
I don't even understand how people, like non-racialized people in this country, can even utter anything racial. We are guests here, man. Everybody.
Canada's a melting pot.
No. What I'm saying to you, every single one of us are guests in this country. And we right. all,
there's many times I have conversations with people and we talk about the fact that every single person has the ability to voice their own opinion on social media. But sometimes I think that right need to be taken away. Because I don't, and Jason, because of that very reason, I don't understand why it is that, you know, someone is gonna take to social media and it's filled with racial epithets.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? What's the purpose of that? You know,
it's
lack of education.
Yep.
Right. I mean, lack of exposure, you know, and clearly not understanding that at least in Canada, what we do anyways, we try to field the best team that's available here. No one's trying to pick any team from any kind of culture. It's like, hey, man, are you great at this? Then you're part of our squad. And there's never, ever a reason, ever a reason. I mean, I'm glad that we're at the place right now. We're celebrating these kids going and representing our country, and they're going to do a great job. But when you talk about people, you know, hurling slurs, you know, especially some of these young men who are doing their very best and are being exceptional, productive members of society, I have a problem with them.
Yeah, it is just no place for that. And
correct.
Soccer Canada quickly condemning all of, you know, those theatrics on social media is just no place for it. So we don't need to give those people too much spotlight. So we will move on.
Absolutely.
My goodness, it is the month of March. The madness has not disappointed. On our last show, we talked about Baylor getting bounced. They are the defending champions. In the final, they played Gonzaga. Guess what happened to them recently?
Well, Fayetteville is 1,843 miles away, but the call of the Hogs can be heard all the way to San Francisco.
And then there was one, number one. Kansas is the only top seed left. What a bracket it has been. I mean, mine's been busted for a long, long time. So we have four left. Kansas taking on Villanova, Duke taking on UNC. Now, this is turning out to be some type of storybook ending, perhaps, for Coach K.
You know what? I like the fact that Coach K, with a stellar career,
right,
is going to finish out with his nemesis. Playing against his nemesis. I mean, you don't know who's going to win.
Going against Hubie.
Yes. I think that it's going to be, it's amazing. Mind you, I have neither one of these two guys on my Final Four.
I could have had about four or five do-overs. I'd still be out.
No.
I'd still be out.
I'm doing okay. It's funny enough, I did two.
Okay.
And one's busted. And one of them I have Kansas winning. Don't ask me how I came up with that. I think I just rolled the dice.
Did you do that after it started?
Oh, hell no. No, I wouldn't do that, man. That's cheating. That's a horrible thing. I wouldn't do it. But right. I'm saying to you that watching the – I think that the storybook ending would be if Duke won. Wouldn't it be amazing? Like Coach K, who's been probably one of the greatest coaches in the history of basketball, really. A guy who's, you know, very storied life at Duke, being a coach, not only just being a coach, but being a father, father figure, being a, you know, mentor for productive members of society, you know, changing boys into young men, productive young men. I think that would be amazing. I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday, the games on Saturday night. Yes, my bracket's busted. I do have one with Kansas winning. By the way, I had Gonzaga winning in the other one, but Gonzaga is now playing golf somewhere.
Not gonna happen. But, I'm rooting for Coach K. This would be an amazing finish to that illustrious career, and we all know he's got that type of resume that does not need a cover letter. Ladies, by the way, number one Stanford taking on number two UConn. Number one South Carolina takes on Louisville. So, oh yeah, the ladies are doing their thing, and so you're gonna go Kansas.
Well, I have it. I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I actually have that written down already.
Okay.
You're doing this now. Okay. Yeah. You're working on this now.
I'm just saying of the four left, I'm going for Coach K.
The sentimental Coach K. Well, hey, I would like to see Duke definitely do something. I think that it'd be amazing. And it would be very fitting for one of the greatest coaches in the history of basketball, especially NCAA.
Yeah. Who could have possibly thunk it? I mean, none of us had Duke. I shouldn't say none of us. Not many of us had Duke getting into the Final Four, but that's the beauty of
the
sport.
The Dukies did. They got a massive fan base, so I'm very certain that the Dukies had Duke going through. I mean, I don't know.
The Dukies.
Relax yourself, man.
We're talking dookies. We started the show putting up your dookies, and now we're talking dookies. All right.
Ducks.
Let's wrap things the only way we can. You know what time it is. Let's run that anchor leg.
A cleaning save to Donovan Bailey is pouring it on.
Oh, yeah. Couple of hot topics on the way out as we wrap this edition of Donovan Bailey running things. DB, Tiger Woods might actually suit up and play the Masters. We will have a definitive word next week ahead of the actual first round on April 7th. But how excited, how giddy are you right now that it's even a remote possibility?
You remember what I said, right?
I am
going to watch it to see if Tiger was watching it. And I am loving the fact that he might play. The might play to me is the cherry on top. I think that all the people that are massive golf fans, and for those who are new to the game or new to watching the game, this is exciting news. I think it's exciting news for the players. It's exciting news for media. So I'm looking forward to that, Jason. There's there's no better news coming out of the golf world than that for me lately.
Is it just a tease? Do you think he can actually play? We know he can swing the golf club. We know that. It's the walking. That's the part for him.
I understand the rehab that he's going through. Mm-hmm. And for me, it is just, first of all, he's going to appear. We already know that. And he's going to have all my respect in the world for getting out and attempting to do this. So I obviously want Tiger Woods to go there and win it. But I think if Tiger Woods goes out there and give it a shot, I mean, if he's putting, first of all, if he's walking up to that first tee, he's giving himself an opportunity to win, because that's the only way you can. You have to participate. And to me, that alone, he deserves all the, he'll get a 1,000% of all my respect. So, you know, hey man, kudos to you, bro. And I'm looking forward to you doing your thing.
Can you imagine if he somehow found his way?
Yes.
In the finale on a Sunday?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My goodness.
All of that.
Tigers trying to get into the finale on Sunday. The Lakers trying to get into the the season that matters most. Right now, barely clinging to that 10th spot.
10th. Yeah, that's...
Oh, man. And LeBron's got a bad knee, a bad ankle. He's 85. I mean, are you worried yet about your Lakers? Can you finally admit they're in trouble?
Forget about me and my... What are you talking about, my Lakers, bro?
You always talk about your Lakers.
No, I'm just saying to that. I like the fact
that Minna, and then you brought it back.
The old man, they're an old team, and apparently AD's coming back, right? I think AD's coming back.
He might come back.
He might be coming back. The Lakers are going to have a tough go. The Lakers are going to have a tough go. I mean, it's not unlike the NCAA where it's one and done. I think the Lakers are going to have a tough time playing the top tier teams in the West. Because they don't have enough bodies, and they don't have, they just don't have enough to go forward. I don't think that they're gonna play a significant role in the NBA championships. That's just, you know, my take today. That might change, but that's definitely my take.
We were kind of funny off the top with the whole slap thing, and it was good TV. I need one more take from you. Bachelorette season 19 around the corner. We know who's going to be there for the ladies. It's Gabby Windy and Rachel Recchia. Will you be watching? In your prime, I want to hear this from you. In your prime, would you ever have been the Bachelor? Would you do something like that?
Well, I was asked. I've been asked.
Whoa!
Yeah, I was
asked. And you said no?
Yeah, you know what's funny? I have. I mean, I did. I mean, it's just like Dancing with the Stars. I mean, I would ask.
Would you do that?
I refused it a couple of times, but in hindsight, that's probably something I should have done.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, the Bachelor thing, that's a little, yeah, that's just not my thing, not my vibe. I mean, I something that is more active is something that I would have participated in. So Dance with Stars is something that I probably should have done when that time was.
If you could have one dance hall DJ be the Bachelor, who would it be?
A dance hall DJ?
To be the Bachelor.
Well, I mean, what you probably want to... Okay, do you just want a good looking guy? Do you want a guy that's gonna produce drama?
Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
You know, man, you know, for good,
I'm going
TV,
Tiger. not Tiger Woods, Tiger. That's how I'm going, Tiger.
A dance hall DJ?
Yep, I'm going Tiger.
Now, Sean Paul could be a dance hall DJ.
Yeah, it's just a little too politically correct.
No,
that's like a Shaggy.
Okay.
Give me somebody dirty, stinking like Shabba.
Shabba.
Okay, then we're good.
Shabba ranks then would be that guy, because that when I see the Bachelorette meter, that's what...
Could you imagine the girls are walking up and he's like, I am mod wiki dina ben. Could you imagine that? Like, oh my God. The ladies would be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Or not.
Yeah, or yeah, maybe not.
Runway.
Maybe not. All right. We've had some fun as we like to. As always, Donovan Bailey running things. You know what to do. Like, subscribe, follow, share. Do it, please. And thank you. It's been another splice, has it not?
Another day, man. Another day. Another one down. Have a great week, everyone. Great, safe week. And we'll see you next week.
For Donovan Bailey, I'm Jason Portwando. This has been Donovan Bailey running things. Thank you for the company.